You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 15. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we are privileged again and again to be in your presence and your grace. So deal with us. Thank you very much. Spirit of God, thanks. Father, thank you. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, it's very, very critical, chapters 13 through 17. And when we came to chapter 15, it becomes to take all of that wonderful information in verse 4, chapter 14, etc., and to bring that home. That's what it's all about. It's all about God in Christ died on the cross to make something wonderfully, wonderfully real and possible. And that's what it's all about. And it's summed up, and God sums it up in a series of statements to his disciples that they might be able to communicate it thereafter he is risen again from the grave. And they're going to be able to communicate it because the Spirit of God is going to take all of that truth and bring it home to their head and heart so that they are not going to have any problem on remembering or knowing what to say, how to say it, when to say it. They have no problem. Spirit of God's going to take and do a wonderful, wonderful thing and use their heart, their mind, their lips, and bring forth the New Testament, etc. Now, so here's all of this truth, and it's super-duper truth, and we've spent time in it a little simply because it is all to be real. You don't find it anywhere comparatively. And history is sort of vacant, not easily found anywhere. It doesn't mean that hearts of people weren't occasionally caught on, but not like they could have. Because the church would be different today than what it is. The churches, I should say, would be different. They aren't that way. They're in a state of apostasy, generally speaking. And that's where we are. Now, so here in John chapter 15, we share together that God has made a relationship possible that produces much fruit. And that relationship is simply done in a most simple and profound way of the vine and the branch out there on the street, the trees, the bushes, everything, they're connected and it produces. And each tree has its own branch, as it were. Each vine has its own branch. And it produces fruit, leaves, and everything. And it demonstrates the plant, the tree, the vine, rooted in the ground, rooted in God in this case. And God providing it in an awesome way. And the branch is just going to abide. That's all it's going to do. A word abide, the verb abide, dwell, remain, rest, stay with it, continue abiding, sitting. You're all seated, Master. Seated, you're seated. Stay seated. Stay abiding, seated, seated. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, we share together that God has said that and made it very clear we're to be much fruit, and without him we can do nothing, verse 5. And we share together down in verse 7 and 8 that we're to abide in the wonderful person of our Lord Jesus Christ, and his word is to abide, verse 7, in our heart, and his word is to remain, to dwell in our heart. We are to remain and dwell in his wonderful person, and in his person we find ourselves in the middle of God in an awesome way. And we find his word in the middle of us so that we aren't stupid about things. That's why we have his word, so we can understand and exercise an intelligent God-honoring relationship to who He is, and to do so with thanksgiving in our heart, to do so intelligently and wonderfully. And we're to be saved, we shared together in Sunday school. We're dead in trespasses and sin. And dead people don't become dead, they are dead. So you have to worry about that. When you die spiritually, you're already dead spiritually if you're not saved, and you're going to die, and you're going to face what? Eternal spiritual death. That's what you're going to face after you die physically. And what do we need? Life. And we share that. That's what it's all about. Coming to know and having a wonderful relationship to God, not when you die and not going to heaven, but here and now, right now. That's what it's all about. I've come that they might, think of John 10. I've come that they might have life and that they might have it what? More abundantly. When? Now. It's something for now. You get saved for now, so that God can enjoy your relationship by abiding and Him, you and Him and His Word in us. And we share together as we did that, that we are to do so, recognizing that we are have a unique relationship to Him as a branch in which we are to enjoy the fullness, the freshness, the fruitfulness of His wonderful person. And we're to do so as sons, and we share that. Adoption, we share together. To be adopted, to be placed as a son, and put the two together, adoption. To be placed as a son, put them together, adoption. We're adopted, and we're adopted. Not only are we born again as children, but at the same instant of time, God places us in His Son, and with full benefits, the full everything. We don't have to wait 10 minutes or 10 years. All of them are ours. We have to learn them. We have to understand them. We have to go for them to have them, but they are ours instantly. So you aren't going to get more of God. You've already got more of God. You've got all of God that you're going to get. That's what you got. Now, either you exercise that relationship or you don't. And if you exercise the relationship, you have the benefits as a son, as a son, as an adopted son. And we shared all that together. And in the process of being an adopted son, as that, looking to God for that, to God outwork His wonderful, wonderful thing. And we are told we are heirs. Not only are we heirs, adopted, Christ, we shared all that together last time, that the Lord Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross, what did He get? He got a wonderful, wonderful inheritance. He gained something by His death, to have something that He couldn't have apart from His death, and that would be to have a human heart that He would find His home in, and that the human heart would find their home in Him. And He would be able to expose, to explain His wonderful person in a human being saved by His grace. How are people going to see God? They can't. He's invisible and infinite, and in every direction. There is nothing outside of God. Everything is inside of God. Everything God. So how are we going to do? No, God, you have a wonderful way of doing it in the person of your Son, and you've made it possible for us humans, created Adam and Eve, etc., us humans to be able to demonstrate and to put on exhibit your marvelous person. Wow. That's what it's about, God. Now, in the process of all of that, looking to God to do all of that, and we're heirs, we're joint heirs. Well, that means we have all the rights and privileges, and we shared all that with His body. The church is His body, as you'll pick up in a minute. His body, a wonderful, wonderful relationship, different. Now, let's keep going if we can. And in the process of moving along, if we can, I keep in verse chapter 15, you'll recall, in particular, the end of verse 7, you shall ask what ye will, And we share together the word ask. Is think of it when you say ask / desire. Asking, you're desiring something with an act of will. You choose, I am, I will, I ought, my human makeup. And I have the right to choose. I choose, I desire, I will. That's the word ask. What do you desire and will and choose? I desire the will. And then we share together that has the same desire and an act of will. Connected. Ask, will. And you're going to ask. You're going to desire his wonderful will in your life. That's what you want. I'm abiding in him and when in his house. I want to be in his house and enjoy everything. I want to be, and you want to be a new creature in Christ, and enjoy. Not what you have in your house. It's what you have in his house. It isn't what you have in your little flesh here, flesh and blood, looking at that all alone. No, it isn't that. It's what he has. That's what you want to share. And we have that wonderful, wonderful ability to be able to share his wonderful life in a most wonderful way as children, as heirs, as sons, and we're to do so as a branch abiding, and we're going to go and ask and will his will. I want his will. That's what God wants. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect example, went and did his will. He said, my food, think it without turning there, John 4, without turning there, John said, my will, my meat. They wanted to give him a lunch. He said, I don't need lunch. My food, I live off of it. What do you live off of, Lord? I live off the will of my Father. I'm here to let God outdo, show his wonderful person. And that's what he did. Without me, I can do nothing apart from him, he says. And then we are told nothing that we can do apart from him. So now, looking to God, here we are asking and willing, and God's going to go and do his wonderful will so that we're going to have, God has a wonderful plan for your life and mine before you were ever created, before angels were ever created, and that's what you're looking for. You're looking for God to outwork his good will in your life. That's what you want. Now, here we are. We're born in God's time and place at this point in history, and we aren't born in the days of Noah or something. We're born today. A wonderful time as we approach the return of the tribulation, etc., and the return of Christ and all of that. And we have that. So here we are looking God, and we're born at the right time. And you have a wonderful plan for our life. And we eat and we drink, that's right, you do. You have to brush your teeth and go to the store and do the normal things that your society does. In the days of Genghis Khan, you wouldn't do it the same way. Different clothes, different everything. But we aren't. Here we are here. So God, we're looking for you to outwork your awesome will in our life, and that's what you're doing. So we do an ordinary life in an extraordinary way. That's what we do. And we do it. Whether eat or drink, we do it to what? To the glory of God. That's what we do. And you have to go to work. You go to work at Joe's sweatshop or something, and you go and do whatever you're doing, and that's what you do. So what? So what? You work at McDonald's making hamburgers? You know, whatever. That doesn't make any difference. No, you just want to do enough to be able to get by and be everything you should be. You don't have to aspire to be the CEO of Joe's something or whatever it is. No, you don't have to do that. It may happen. That God bless you if it does. But it isn't the issue. The issue is to enjoy life in all of its fullness, wherever you are, here on planet Earth, eating and drinking, normal living in a way, outworking, when you do that, God is going to outwork his wonderful. Here you are at 3 years old, and at 13 years old, and at 30 years old, and you're outworking, and God already has all of that. If I'm going to trust him, here we are, we've come down the corridor of time, And by the way, here we are together. We all had different channels and grew up. And here we are in a moment of time together. That's God's. God knew that. God knew that 70 years ago. But we didn't know it. We didn't know it at all. We didn't know what we're going to say. This wasn't even here. It is now. In the will of God. God's outworking it. That's what we're doing. Looking to God. Stay looking, trusting all the way, ignorantly, stupidly sometime, etc. But we keep looking to God and gets us there and gets us there. That's how we're going to go. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, in the end of verse 7, and it shall be done unto you. It shall happen. It shall come to pass. It's going to be done. It's going to happen. So, if you ask what you will in his name, as you know elsewhere in John 14 and that, ask what you will. If you're resting in him, in his house, and his word is resting in you, so you are going to trust. Here's your heart and mind doing what it does, and it does what it does. Now, so here we are looking, and God's going to go, and whatever you do, it shall be done unto you. So God, you're going to do that. That's right. I told you I'm going to do it. So that's what we have to do. We have to trust him by faith, and we walk by faith and not by sight. And we go down the corridor of time, and God helps us in every way that we need to have help. Now, having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, and verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Now, if you're going to have this relationship, God's going to produce a wonderful relationship that gives you the wonderful enjoyment of an abundant life, which is his, and you're going to enjoy God personally, because that's what it's about, and you're going to enjoy God in a marvelous way. And to say it, I'll probably jump ahead here, but just remember now, when Christ died on the cross, he took all of your every word, thought, and deed that you had from the day you were born to the day you die. That's a big pile. And he took all of that in his own body on the tree and paid for every single year, every single thing, everything you could say, do, think that would keep you from enjoying and possessing being holy and righteous for God. And here you are going down. And God, you did that, that's right. And you died on the cross. So that's called redemption. And that's, how do we handle our old nature? How do we handle our word, thoughts, and deeds? How are we going to do that? We're going to go to a counselor, and we're going to go and talk about our problem. Let's talk about our problem. And for $50, you can talk about it. And you can do whatever. And we do that. And we get another problem. I got a problem over here, and I got a problem over there. I got a problem with this and with that. That's what we do. Now, God, then we go. That's where all the system comes in. I hate the system. System comes in and says, we're going to go and we'll deal with the problem. Now, I understand there's a place to do that. Don't get me wrong. But I need to understand very much so how to do it. God, what did you do? You're the answer. Whose life do you have when you get saved? You have his life, don't you? So the life that you now live in the flesh, Galatians 2:20, is whose life? It's his life that you're to outlive. Not your life. You got all these things running around in your brain and head and heart. We got them. But the life that we now have is his. So now, what did you do, God, to even make that possible? You died on the cross and condemned, paid the price for every single second that I ever breathe, that you ever breathe, till you'd stop breathing. And God paid the price. He did that once. And I don't remember anywhere he's going to talk about, and when I was 7 years old, I took 7 cookies from the cookie jar and I wouldn't tell my mother. No, no. When I was 8 years old, I stole the dollar from my father's wallet. Do you remember God asking you all those little questions? Do you remember reading that? No. He crucified us. Finished. We come with God all these little problems, and we don't recognize, I already took care of that, dead. And what are we to do? Reckon yourself dead. Not only reckon yourself dead, reckon yourself forgiven. Is that true? Are you going to be forgiven, or have you been forgiven? Which is it? Now, if people would practice it, I get this stuff going on elsewhere, but... And they're trying to solve it. We'll help this person, we'll help that person. It's a system. We don't use the system. The system never solved anything. It's true you may feel better after counseling to whatever, but it isn't the answer. It isn't the answer. The answer is for you to learn to how to handle your old nature that never goes away. And Christ crucified it. So I don't need to bring up all this stuff. I don't need to do it. I don't care who you are. I don't care what the problem is. If you know the Lord as your Savior, exercise the wonderful relationship you have and exercise it. You're forgiven. God's done. Now, I'd say I should feel bad about it. Well, it's true. We with each other and with ourselves, well, God, we should be beaten 4 times, right? But God doesn't do that. He's finished. And if I would do that, do you know how much my life would change? My life would change drastically if that happened. So now, keeping that in mind, that takes care of that. But that doesn't give me one drop of victory, one drop of success. He had to rise again. Not only did he die and pay the penalty, he rose again to make something for me that I don't have, and that's life. Whose life? His life. Christ in you, he is your life. So where do I get the victory? Where do I overcome my lousy old nature? You don't. Christ already has done it, and you enjoy the wonderful life of Christ, the branch abiding in the what? Vine. You're resting in it. It's such a simple, wonderful thing. But how you'd have to travel the world trying to find it, unfortunately. He made it very clear. You aren't going to win. I'm not going to win. I'll just fix my problem. No, you won't. You got the same lousy nature, no matter how you do it. When did you become a murderer? Your old nature already is a murderer. When did you become an adulterer? Your old nature is already adulterous. When did you become whatever? You already are it. That's why Adam can go and sin. How did Eve sin? She sinned before she ever took the fruit. She chose to act independently of God. And that's what the devil sits there. The devil says, good, I acted independently and see who I am. And Eve said, wow. And the next thing you know, there she is, going. She chose. Lucifer, son of the morning, fell before he ever come out. He already had made a decision to act independently of God. And he's totally dependent. It's something we do. And God, we can't solve it. And if you sit down, you can spend 10 years doing it. And you can mull it over and put yourself in a dither, that's whatever that is, and get yourself in a state of mind and you work through it. I'm going to do this. I'm going to forgive. No, you've been forgiven. Practice it. You're dead. You don't have to sit down and play with your work, your home, your job, my thought life. What are you going to do? It isn't going to come out all right. No, it isn't. It's you. It's the same old you all the time. It didn't go away. And God gave you a wonderful, wonderful life. It's His. And that's what you're out working when you get saved in a most wonderful way. Therefore, you should, I hope you got a little bit. That's critical. And most people don't do it. Leaders don't do it. Christian leaders don't do it. They got the system. We're all going to go and counsel each other and care. And that's the system we live in. And God made it so simple and wonderful to clean it up and clear it up in a most awesome way. And we do it with our mind. And God, instead of saying, thank you, God, that my sins are what? Thank you, God. Thank you for a life I don't have, but you have it. And therefore, you're looking for God to what? To outwork His wonderful life. Whatever you ask, ask your will in my name. You desire something, I'm going to do it. What do you want? I want what you want, God. I want to have a life that you have. I want you to outwork my little life, work, home, school, play, you know, everything, personality, your idiosyncrasies and everything else. And all of that, wow, that's what we're going to do. Now, so you'll be my disciples. Now, you'll remember, over to Matthew chapter 4, just for a sec, very quickly. I digress there, but I hope it helps. Because you're not going to solve anything. Nothing happens. I want you. And I've been around a little bit. To tell you, I proved that it doesn't work. I watched it not work for a long time. I'm telling you, it won't work, and no matter how you do it, if it just helped fix this, and then I'll do better. Fix your heart, period. No matter what. Does it make any difference what your situation is? If God is in you, is He able to save you to the uttermost? Is He forgiving you? Is He able to go to the take you to the cross, as it were? He had to go to the cross. Everything's against Him. Crown of thorns, everything is against Him. But He goes to the cross. He bears it. Think of Hebrews 12:2. Bearing, enduring the shame. And he looked down on it. It was, what an awful death. And He looked down and He said, He just stepped in it and used it as a stepping stone. To rise up to the cross. Because He had another life, God's life. Therefore, Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, our Lord said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Verse 20, that's the word follow. Now a little different word. Verse 20, and they straightway left their nets and they followed Him. They dropped down their net. They didn't take their lunch. They didn't change their shoes. They didn't do anything. They just dropped what they were doing and went. The fishes fell on the floor, fell in the bucket, whatever. And off they went. That's what they did. And God never said it again. I said, I'll tell you once, follow me. Off he went. Now either you follow him or don't. Well, I'm going to think about it. You never get there, right? I'm going to think about it. Tell me when you stop thinking about it. You'll be forever. I'm going to find life and find it if I just think about it some more. You don't have enough life to think about it. It's an event. Do it. That's how you got born physically, wasn't it? You didn't, not that you could, but make believe you say, well, I'm not ready. It doesn't matter. Boom, out you come. God, you saved me. Then be saved wonderfully. Now, and therefore, verse 22, and they immediately left the ship, and their father, and followed him. They just quit. They just didn't go home and tell their wife, I'm going away. Off they went. Wow. God, that's a drastic thing. No, it isn't. How can you put God first and end up losing? How do you do that? You don't do that. You can't. How are you going to honor God's will? If He wants it, then do it. Do it. See? Do it. But, no, just do it, God. I'll have to let you do it because I don't know how to make it come out. But you do now. So here, that's Matthew chapter 4. Sliding over, if I can, in the light of the disciples, over to, and disciples, and here's all the disciples who move along, over, if you would, to Acts. Acts chapter 13 first. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 first. And in Acts chapter 4, you remember, here's the Lord Jesus Christ is crucified and risen again. The church is born in Acts chapter 2. They're all, the saved people are there, Peter, James, and John. And they're just ordinary people. So that helps us immediately, because God just takes ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Then here they are in chapter 4, and the people, they're upset with him. And look at, we're looking at chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse 2. And they, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead, that they're alive. Christ died for their sin, they're alive. But weren't they always alive? Yes, they were. But when they followed and when they came to know the Lord as their Savior, that they had their God's life, God's uncreated life. So chapter 4, picking up in verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven whereby, among men, whereby must be saved. Verse 13. Now, when they saw, remember this, they're all upset, these are just nobodies, the headquarters, the leaders, the teachers. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been where? With Jesus. These guys are just like him. That's why in Acts 11, they're first called Christians in Antioch by the unsaved. They're like Christ. That's right. They're like Christ. It's like, they're just like him. Wow. Hang on. Now, chapter 21. And in chapter 21, picking up, please. Here's Paul, about 58 AD. Paul has finished his third missionary journey. He has no more missionary journeys. He's going to go to Caesarea prison, and then he's going to go prison, and out of prison, and prison, and prison, and then die. So he's no more journeys. And here's our word disciple, verse 16. And our word disciple in verse 16 is used two times. I'll read the first part. There went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea. Now, that's disciples. That's a person that's going to be a follower, a learner. Now, after 21, after his fifth visit, verse 17, and when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. That's his fifth visit to Jerusalem, prison, etc. Going to go. Now, in doing so, you won't read disciple again in the rest of the Bible. Doesn't use it anymore. Why not? Missionary journeys. Disciple, 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 disciple. Our Lord, his disciples, his students, to be student, to learn, to be a servant, to serve, to be a soldier, to war. That's the word. Servant, followers. Well, but no more, not after chapter 21. He's all finished with his journeys. Now what do? The same as our Lord when he was done doing all his stuff. In the last handful of months, what did he do? He centered on the cross. He shot for the cross. Everyone's around him, but no more what he was doing. He's shooting for the cross. That's the most important thing. Paul, what are you going to do? No more missionary journeys. You're going to go and what? You're going to go to prison. And in prison, out of all this, you're going to write the epistles, Peter, Philippians and Colossians, and they're going to have all of that. That's right. What's it all about? It isn't about following. It's about being in the body, being in Christ, And that's what he's going to write about. It isn't about coming after somebody and leaving work and home. No, it's about coming to be, understand, you come to know the Lord as your Savior, and God places you instantly in his wonderful, wonderful person in a most awesome way. My time has disappeared, but I hope you had a little. It's an awesome thing what you have. Now, God, what'd you do? Hang on, over if you would do Ephesians. In Ephesians, remember we shared together, keeping in mind God's wonderful working, etc. And here we are looking, if I can. And in Ephesians, picking up, please, in chapter 4, you'll catch it. Let me just quickly, you know it. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, God has given to the believers in this particular church age of grace, God has given Christ to be the head of the church, which is, verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Wherever you're going to go, you have arrived. You have arrived. Where? In Christ. Remember we read that? John 15, 7. If you abide in me, in God, in God, Christ, in God, you're there. There's no more time to God. God has it all done. And so, God, what are we going to do? Are we going to go somewhere? No, we aren't going anywhere. We're going to go, and we entered into a unique, awesome relationship to your person in a most awesome way. And we've been placed in your body, 1 Corinthians 12, etc., by the Spirit of God into that body. We aren't moving. We're locked in, parts of the body, to make that body function in all of its fullness, to enjoy the life and fullness of God in Christ as sons, as joint heirs, adopted ones in the wonderful person of Jesus Christ. Hang on, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians in chapter 4. And you would recall, may I go to verse 7. But unto everyone, verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to what? The measure, word measure, how much? God has given us grace, how much? According to the gift of Christ. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're saved, is your personal Savior. True? He's your personal Savior if you're saved. Lord Jesus Christ. How much? How much did he give you? He gave you his son. Now, right? Now, someone over here wants to know, did they get 3 barrels of blessing? And someone over here, did they get 1.5 barrels of blessing? What do we get? Okay. Now, sliding over if I can, chapter 4. What are we sitting here for? Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, equipping us. For the work, what? To be able to serve, ministry. And what are we serving? We're serving the body of Christ, edifying, building up the body of Christ. Now, what are we doing? Remember the word measure. How much? Now, God, so I want to know how much I got. Verse 13. We're going to keep doing this, bugging each other, pestering each other, trying to help each other. What are we doing? All right. Till, verse 13, 4, 13, till we all come in the unity, the oneness of the faith, the body of truth that is to be believed. His words are to be at home in your heart. So that's why I'm blessing the words at home, find a home in my heart. So I'm going to look at them. That's how I'm going to know. How am I going to know, God, what you want? You told me. I have your word in my relationship to you so I can understand it. Till we all come in the unity, oneness of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect, complete, full man. You mean you want us to grow up? Unto the measure, there's the little word measure, how much? Of the stature, the growth, of the fullness of Christ, which you read in Ephesians 1 and 23, the fullness. God, what do you want to do? You find in the branch. I want to be God. Let me do it. Let me do it. Well, where do we go? We aren't doing anything. I'm telling you, you need to, and hang on, I'll try to get that word, if I can. Sliding down to verse 16, though. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint, every little particle, cell, supplieth, according to what? The effectual working in the measure, there's your word measure, how much? Of every part. Does it say that? Now, if you're saved and you're in the body, are you in every part? That's what I want to know. Are you in every part? I don't know. Well, if you're not saved, you're not a part. You can't even enjoy what we're talking about. You have to be saved. Every part, and maketh increase of the body unto the edifying itself in love. So God, it's a wonderful, wonderful relationship. Uh-huh, it is. It's a wonderful thing that I've done and I'm doing. Now, by the way, keep in mind, the word disciple isn't used, but the verb, that's the noun, the verb is used. Now, what changed from following and that, learning? It's changed. Uh-huh, and there's another word. And that's the verb. And you use that, God. Now, why? Because, let me catch it quickly, not much, but a little. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And picking up, if I may, chapter 11, may I go directly in the light of it all, context. Verse 28, his general invitation to everybody, our Lord, Israel being put aside, as it were, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Do you see the word learn? That's the verb disciple, a learner. Only we aren't learning, we're in the place that we're going to exercise the word learn there, learn in that verb, it means to bring something into your experience, to make something real in your life, in here. Christ in you, the fullness of life, all of life, to make it real, that's what it is. Uh-huh, that's what it is. And learn of me, learn of me, learn of me. But shouldn't we talk about our problem? No, I crucified it. I forgave it. Learn of me. My life, outlive it. Don't try to, you aren't going to fix everything. You aren't going to change everything. You aren't going to do it. If you're waiting for that to happen and waiting for everything to become equal and fair, not in this life. Not in this life. No, you have a life. And the life that you now live is mine, he said. Now outlive that life in a most awesome way and do it and learn of me. It's about you, God. Uh-huh. It's about me being God. God, what did you say? When I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, the Father, and what are you going to say? You tell me, Spirit of God. Father, say Abba, Father. That's what I have to, I learned that. That's the first thing I learned. You tell me that. Father, my Father. What am I doing? Father, as a son, as a joint heir, what am I doing? I'm to enjoy what? A relationship to you. How so? In the body. Whose body? Christ's body. He died on the cross and rose again, and he's bearing testimony to his marvelous empty, the empty tomb in a most marvelous way by showing his grace through us humans. And here we are, God, we're going to learn about you. That's right. So God, what part of my life doesn't include you? And the Lord Jesus said, well, why don't you find some part that my life doesn't fit into yours? And you can't. Because whatever you do, whatever you drink, what? Do it heartily as unto the Lord. That's what you're doing. So you're going to eat your hamburger, you're going to go do what you're going to do, and you do it, don't you? If you have to take a nap this afternoon, and you may after this exercise, then you take a nap to the glory of God. That's what you do. You know, one guy sleeps 5 minutes, another guy sleeps 10 hours. It's fine. You know, you're trusting God, aren't you? And you do what you can do as much as you can. That's what you do. Relax. And just do it. And God, I'm trusting God. I'm a son. I'm a joint heir. Aren't we? Believers? Absolutely. Then be it. I have a wonderful Father. I don't have to sit and I'm in him. I'm in the body. I'm in Christ. I'm in the middle of him. And he's in, I never leave his presence. Never. Neither do you. Never leave his presence. Wow. Now, God, here we are looking, and learn of me. And remember now, without turning there, Matthew 28 and that. What are we going to do? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son. And what, that's what they're going to do. And they're going to teach them. That's the word learn. That's the word disciple. That's the word learner. Bring it into your... What do you want to tell people? To follow him and drop their net? No. No. I want them to understand I've given them an awesome relationship to who I am. And when they come to know me as their Lord and Savior, I'm going to go and place them in my wonderful body, and I'm going to go, and they're going to learn of me. That's what you're going to do. Do we have to find you? Follow you? No. You're in me. I'm in you. Learn. Learn. Bring it into your experience that you actually, I don't want to say, yeah, I was saved 10 years ago and nothing happened. Nothing's going to happen until you exercise it properly. And as long as you're going to keep trying to play, I'm not as bad as people on this side. I'm a gooder person over here on this side and everything. No, I'm a lousy, and I have to grow up to get there. In me dwelleth what? No good thing. I have to grow up to get that, to be able to say that. I'm able to do zero in word, thought, or deed. I don't count one drop of my thoughts or deed. I do whatever, and if we goof and play up, whatever, and we do, and then we confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. And in the meanwhile, we walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ is what, dear friends? It's cleansing us. So we don't have to sit. We're learning to do it. God, that's what you want to do, isn't it? You want to outwork your wonderful will in our life. And so that's the will. And that's what we're going to disciple all nations. What are we trying to tell them? You need to understand you're dead in sins and you need to be alive. And Christ died on the cross, redemption to take care of your sins and your nature. And he rose again to give you a life that you just don't have. Whose life? God's life. The uncreated life of God. That's awesome, isn't it? Wow. What can we say in closing? Wow. And remember, remember our Lord said it in John 5 and Luke 24? He said, when you read any part of the Bible, it's all about whom? It's all about him. So when you're all done, did you find me in Proverbs? Did you find me in John? Did you find me in Ezekiel? Did you find me in Joshua? Did you find me? Because it's all about me. Why is it all about you? Because I'm in you, and it's all about, I'm going to have you read the Bible so that you know who I am. Learn of me. Get your learning from me. God, God, you're telling me to learn from our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ said, without me you can do nothing. Obviously, if he has to do it and he doesn't do it, it's not going to happen. I don't care. You can preach 10 sermons and do whatever. What difference does it make? Doesn't make any difference at all. Wow. Now, God, here we are in closing anyway. 2 Corinthians. We read it. Appreciate your patience, and I hope you've bear up under it and get something. Maybe. And by the way, it's all going to be true. Because everything in your world, if I could take time, I would point out to you that you don't breathe a breath, that the whole world that you are in is attesting to God's wonderful person. And if you pay attention, then you'll start to learn. You can't escape God. You need to honor him. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, God who comforts us, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort and encouragement. And what's it going to do? God's going to let you fall down and get a bloody nose. God's going to let you say some stupid thing. God's going to let you do some stupid thing. And in the process, you're going to get educated if you want to. That's how you learn. That's how you learn. And then you can help people. That's what you're supposed to be, a little light in the darkness. So the world can look and see. You can't see God. No, but you can see you. I can see you. I hear you. Sanctify the Lord. Think of 1 Peter 3:15. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. And people are going to ask, well, what is it about you? What is it about you? Why didn't you swear at him? Why didn't you swear at him? Why didn't you do that? What is it about you? That's right. We're learning experience. It becomes wonderful. I know I didn't even touch it, but I hope you got a little. Disciple, you'll be my disciples. Ah, but in the day of Pentecost, is it going to change? Is it going to change? And you are going to be mine, my body, my life in you. That's awesome. I got to quit. Appreciate your patience. Our God and Father, we thank you for their grace and mercy and kindness as we just try to think about it a little bit. And our God, we're going to thank you very, 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 very much in Christ's name for all that you're doing and being. God, little words cry out. You said it. If we ask according to the will, you'll do it. And our God, we like Mary of old, God said it, God do it. Thank you very, 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 very much. In Christ's name, amen.